Are we ready to go? Today is, what, April 7th, 2014. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Okay, we start one time with homage to the Buddha. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Mingjie, she'll come. Where's Hai Tian?
I saw him.
Okay. Oh, I need my glasses.
Bante, can you drink fruit tea?
Yeah, there's a tea, it's okay.
Okay. All right, do you want this too?
What is that?
Green tea,
I prefer. Okay. So, we have some of the grammar to finish in lesson 4. Okay, I think I went through the feminine present participle. Did I do that?
Yes.
In long I and A. Basically, just to review that, the present participle, feminine present participle with the long I stem, is declined just like the feminine nouns that end in the long I. Like in lesson 1, section 1.23. Ah, Suki. Yes. Yeah, it's declined like on page 6, like Nadi, meaning river. So the feminine present participle with the long I ending is declined like nadi. And with the long A ending, it's declined just like the feminine nouns that end in the long A. Like I think they must have us. Yeah, like on page 18, like the word sala. So the feminine present participle with the long A ending, like in gachamana, would be declined just like the word sala. You see, so it's very regular patterns that go through the language. Okay, then we have section 6 here. We have some more optatives. This is a little bit confusing, I have to say. Okay, there's a singular optative ending just with the one letter E. And this you usually find in verse because verses have to fit into a meter. And so to make it less demanding on the composer of the verse, to have an optative with pachayama, for example, you have to get ayama, three syllables in. So to make it simple, you just reduce it to one syllable. Pachayami, you just have pache. And then the plural, we have forms like, let's say, gachema, gacheta, And then the forms that are given in parentheses here, this is where I say it's a little confusing. This is what is called sometimes the middle voice or the reflexive voice. In Sanskrit, there's a very fixed formal rule that transitive verbs are called the active voice, in which there's action going from a subject to an object. And then, in contrast to the active voice, there's the middle voice, the reflexive. This is where the verb doesn't take an object. For example, like somebody says, in English we would say, I'm enjoying myself. I'm delighted. So there's a counterpart to that in Sanskrit and Pali, and that would be called the middle voice or the reflexive. But what happens in Sanskrit, the distinction is very sharp between the two, very precise. But in Pali, the sort of boundary between the two opens up, and you'll find reflexive forms used even when there's an active verb, even to function as an active verb. But these forms that you see in parentheses are not so common. Occasionally one sees them, but they're relatively rare. Okay, any questions about this so far? Okay, now we come to the numerals, numbers. Okay, so they give what's called the stem forms of the first five numerals. So here we have Eka is 1, Dvi is 2, Ti is 3, Chatu 4, Pancha 5. Then the first few numbers are declined according to three genders, masculine, neuter, and feminine. And so here we have the table for the declension of 1. You see, it conforms pretty much to the same model as the earlier nouns. Like masculine, eko, is just the same as buddho or dhammo. Neuter, ekang, like rupang. Feminine, eka, like kanya or sala. And then this might seem a little bit strange to you, that there's a plural of one. How can there be a plural of one? And I don't think they explain it. But what the plural of one means is what we would say, sum.
Yeah, it's there about in the top little paragraph.
Yeah. On the top of the page.
The middle sentence.
Oh, right. Right. It says that the plural is used both as a pronoun and as an adjective, and it has the sense sum. Mm-hmm. So to say sum, you just take the word for one and pluralize it. And then the plural of one is declined somewhat differently from it's not declined like the masculine nouns. Well, let's say the masculine for one, plural, isn't declined like Buddha or Dhamma, but it's declined like Te, did we have this? Or like, if you go to page 50, like ime. You see, ime, imesan, imehi, imesu. So similarly, we have ake, ekesang, a kehi, a kesu. Those are the most common forms. The ones in brackets are less common. So masculine, neuter, except for nominative and accusative, they're the same. And then the feminine, you can have a ka or a kayo, then genitive, dative, a kasung, instrumental, ablative, a kahi, and the locative, a kasu. Okay, then 3 and 4, the numbers 3 and 4, also distinguish the three genders. So we have masculine as tayo. This is nominative accusative. Tayo, neuter, tini, feminine, tiso. Then we have the dative genitive. The most common is tinung. Tinunung. It might occur, but I'm not so familiar with it. And then the feminine, tisunnung. See, tiso, tisunnung. Then for the instrumental ablative, they're all the same. Tihi and locative, tisu. Okay, then for 4, one gets the masculine, either chataro, that's the usual one, is chataro. Occasionally, I think this is more in verse, chaturo. For the nominative, for masculine, nominative, accusative, neuter, chatari, feminine, chatasu. Then dative, genitive, the masculine, neuter, chatunang, and then feminine, chatasunang. Then instrumental, ablative, they're the same. The most common one is chatuhi. And then the locative, chatusu. Okay, then for some reason, number 2 doesn't distinguish genders. I don't know why. So you get the most common form, nominative masculine, is dve. Duve, maybe it's a more poetic form used in verse. And then the usual dative genitive is dvinung. Duvinung might be found in verse. Instrumental ablative, dvihi, is most common. And locative, dvisu. Then a relief when we come to 5 and higher numbers, that there's no distinction of genders. It all merges into one. So here they give for 5, nominative, accusative, pancha, dative, genitive, panchanang, instrumental, ablative, panchahi, and locative, panchasu. Any questions now on the numerals?
Why don't we see ekayano here? Like ekayano.
Oh, ekayano. From the Satipatthana Sutra.
Yeah.
Of course, that's a compound. That is a compound of one and ayana, which means going. Yeah, it's not a numeral on its own. Any other questions on numbers? Okay, now we come to the word for all. The word for all, this is very, very common, the sabba. And then sabba, and then there's a word meaning other, which is para, usually other people. Okay, so the words for all and for other are declined like. They say like sa or tongue. That would be lesson 2, section 2.2. Yeah, this is page 19. Except one doesn't see very often. I'm trying to think whether one sees sub-bo all. I know one gets sub-bung very often. But since all is usually indicating a plural, so one gets sub-bay. That's the plural form that you find on page 20. Oh, one does get sub-bussa, sub-bena, in special expressions. But I think you get subba occurring mostly in the plural. And so you would get subbe, sabani, or feminine subba, or sabayo, then genitive dative would be sabbasung, or feminine sabbasung, instrumental ablative sabbehi, or sabbahi, and locative sabbesu, or sabbasu. And then the word para, meaning all, is declined in the same way.
Sorry.
Okay. Yeah. Again, as usual, I say don't worry about the abstract explanations. The important thing is to be able to recognize the forms when you see them. Then as you come across them over and over, then you get accustomed to them. Anyway, that's my way of learning. Not to memorize abstract rules, but just get a little familiar with the rules and then just see how they're exemplified in the text. Ding the dong, ding the dong. Okay, then we have the object of the verb indicating fear. They say comes in the genitive. So verbs of fear, one is tussity, the other is biety, takes the genitive of the thing feared. In English, we use, I'm afraid. Actually, we use the genitive also in English. I'm afraid of the dark. I'm afraid of strangers. But also we use the instrumental. I'm frightened by the dark. I'm frightened. Yeah.
The bear.
I'm frightened by snakes. I'm afraid of spiders. But they say that the object of verbs of fear takes the genitive. And I'm just wondering, in my experience, whether I've seen an ablative going with the verb of fear. I think I have, but we'll just see as we go on with the reading. Okay, then there's a word for like or as. The original form is Eva, I-V-A. But very often this word Eva is abridged simply to V-A. V-A. And you have to be a little careful sometimes to distinguish. There's an Ava, E-V-A, which is also a bridge to V-A. And then there's this word Eva, meaning like, which is a bridge to V-A. So sometimes when it's a little difficult to determine exactly which one is meant. Okay, so they give an example. This is from the a verse in the Dhammapada. Gopova gav, go, go, bo, we get the right rhythm. Gopova gavo gane yang pare sang. Yeah. Gopova gavo gane yang pare sang. You see here, the V means like. So like Gopo is a cowherd, then Ganayang is, what grammatical form is this?
Accusative?
No.
Is it participle?
Right, I heard that. I think that was June. It's that short present participle form. It's the same in meaning as ganayanto. But sometimes, especially in verse, again, where you have to fit the meter, so we'll use this short form of the present participle, ganayang. So that means counting. Then gavo here means cows or cattle. That we, I think we had this. Yeah, we had this on page 51. That's, in this case, it's the accusative, plural, gavo. And then paresang, this means of others. We just had the word para. So this is the what case and number? Paresang?
Genitive
what?
Plural.
Right, it's genitive plural, of others. And so you see the V here is, represents Eva, like. So like a cowherd counting the cows of others. And this Eva or V always comes inside a sentence. It doesn't begin a sentence. What is the word meaning like or as that might begin a sentence? Begins with a Y, followed by an A.
Yadi.
No, Yadi is if.
Yes.
Yanta.
Very, very close. You just have to extend that A at the end. Yata. Yata. Which is as. Usually yata will go along with tata. As such and such, so such and such. Okay, then we have number 11 in the grammar. Another word meaning if. And this is the word che. So it says, che is another form with the sense if. And it is a clitic. Do you know what a clitic is? Yeah, it's a technical word in grammar. Maybe you'll have to translate this. It's a word that always goes inside a sentence. It doesn't begin the sentence.
Clit. 邦德的意思说，这个字的意思，那是一个文法上的一个，就是。 专用的名词，它就是说这个意思，就是说它这是总是是在那个字里面，不是在字的开头。
Yeah, actually, they explain it right here. And thus, it cannot begin a sentence, but it must follow some other form. Usually, it follows the first word in its own sentence. So an example here, for example, Ahanche Eva Kopana Musa Vadi Asang. So in English, we would have to translate this, if I were to be one who speaks falsely. So you see, che, meaning if, comes inside the sentence, after the first word. But che is an abridgment of this a word we've come across already, sache. Sache is the form that begins a sentence. So I could also say, sache hung eva kopana musavadi asang. What is the word asang here? What form is this?
Accusative?
No.
Infinitive?
What is it?
Infinitive?
No.
Asang, what's the root?
It's a verb. What form?
Would it be present participle?
No. Wow.
Infinitive?
Yongxin?
It's the past tense.
No. Oh,
it's the optative.
Right. Right.
It's on page 101.
Yeah, Seiyu's got it correctly. It's the optative first person singular. What page did you find it?
Page 101.
So they didn't give it earlier.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. Wow. I'm sorry, then I shouldn't have tested you on it. Sure. We didn't have this in Lily De Silva's book?
We did. I don't think so.
No. Not in Lily De Silva.
No.
Okay, so this is.
Looks familiar.
We had us in the other class.
There's a siyang. Siyang is one form of first person optative, singular. Siyang or asang. Okay. Oh, I see. In the example just given, asang is the optative of uti, to be. And thus, the sense here is hypothetical, contrary to fact.
If I were to.
Okay, any questions on anything covered in the grammar? Okay, so let's now go from grammar to reading. Okay, so we're going back to page 45. And last time we did the first paragraph in the first selection. So I'll just retranslate that. Maybe we'll just recite it and then I'll translate.
Bhante, I have a question.
Yeah.
This example, previous one. So I don't see. It says aham che eva kopana musavadi asan.
Yeah.
But I don't see, if I were to lie,
yeah,
isn't this musavadi asan is I'll be a liar? Where is the if I were to lie part? So shouldn't there be something like musavadeyam or something like that?
Yeah, that's not necessary because musavadi is a speaker of falsehood or a liar, and usung is would be. So he's saying, if I would, as I say literally, if I would be a liar, if I would be a speaker of falsehood.
Oh, I see. So there's no, if I were to lie, I would be a speaker of falsehood.
No, he's not, he's just taking the if clause here, mm-hmm. not taking the consequence of that.
I see, okay.
I think it goes something, the rest of it goes something like, if I were to be a liar, then I think it goes something like, if others were to be a liars in relation to me, then I would not trust them. And so if I were to be a liar towards others, they would not trust me. And so that becomes like a moral reasoning for abstaining from false speech. Okay, let's take the first paragraph on page 45. So I'll read it phrase by phrase, then you follow. Evam eva ko bhikkhave.
Evam eva ko bhikkhave.
Chataro me samana brahmananang upakilesa.
Chataro me samana brahmananang upakilesa.
Yehi upakile sehi.
Yehi upakile sehi.
Upakilita.
Upakilita.
Eke samana brahmana.
Eke samana brahmana.
Nutapanti.
Nutapanti.
Nabasanti.
Nabasanti.
Navirochanti.
Navirochanti.
Okay, so as I explained last week, this is following from a simile was given. And so evam eva means just like, or in the same way as in the simile. So chitaro, here we have the number four, and we know that this is what gender? And and the number is, of course, it's plural. So it's, and the case is nominative. And so chitaro is going with upakilesa, so defilements. Then the me here is an abridgment of ime. This is an example of sandhi. Because we have chitaro, ime, and when chitaro and ime meet, the I drops off. And so in English, we would say these four. And that's the usual way in Pali, too. But this is a kind of more elegant language, a little bit sort of refined way of speaking. So in the same way, there are these four. Then the nominative subject is upakilesa, defilement. And then we have samana brahmanat, samana brahmananam. What case? Case and number. Right, genitive plural. So of, the samanas are the monks or ascetics. And the Brahmins would be, these would probably be renunciant Brahmins rather than householder Brahmins. So there are these four defilements of ascetics and Brahmins. Then yehi upakilesehi upakilita. So literally this would be, by which defilements defiled. In English, good English, we would say defiled by which, but literally in Pali, by which defilements they are defiled. And so upakilita is what kind of grammatical form?
Participle.
Right, it's the past participle, and it's going with, it's describing what is the subject of it. No.
Someone.
Right. No, it's not upakilesa. You see, because in the first clause of the sentence, upakilesa is the subject. Mm-hmm. In the second clause, upakilesehi, that becomes the instrumental. And the subject of the second clause is eke samana brahmana, some ascetics and Brahmins. Mm-hmm. So some ascetics and Brahmins are defiled by these defilements. Mm-hmm. And notice here we have the word eke. Again, this is from the word eko, meaning one. But now we have it in the plural, nominative plural. So it here means some. So, defiled by which some ascetics and Brahmins. Then we have three verbs, basically with the same meaning. Mm-hmm. They do not... You say, do not glow, sun. Do not shine, do not radiate,
blaze.
Do not blaze, do not sparkle, do not scintillate, do not...
Ridicate. Dazzle.
Did I say dazzle? I didn't say dazzle yet.
No.
Okay, dazzle, whatever. Okay, so now he raises the question... Kattame chataro.
Kattame chataro.
And notice the word kattame. Now this is the plural interrogative. There's the word kattama, that's the stem form, meaning what.
What for.
And so now this one is declined similar to AK, meaning some. Or te, meaning those. So it's nominative plural, kattame. The model is... on page 20, where we have te. It's just declined like te or ye. Okay, so now we continue. Santi bhikkhave.
Santi bhikkhave.
Eke samana brahmana.
Eke samana brahmana.
Surang pivanti meriang.
Surang pivanti meriang.
Sura meriya pana.
Sura meriya pana.
Upati viratta.
Upati viratta.
Okay, let's finish the paragraph. Okay. Ayang bhikkhave.
Ayang bhikkhave.
Pattamo samana brahmananang.
Pattamo samana brahmananang.
Upakileso.
Upakileso.
Yena upakilesena.
Yena upakilesena.
Upakilita.
Upakilita.
Eke samana brahmana.
Eke samana brahmana.
Natapanti.
Natapanti.
Nabhasanti.
Nabhasanti.
Navirochanti.
Navirochanti.
Okay, so the word santi means, in this case, there are. This is the plural of ati. So there are, O monks. Then we have again, eke samana brahmana. Some ascetics and Brahmins. And this is interesting, what comes next. Surang pivanti meriang. Okay, of these three words, What is Surang? What is Pivanti? What is Mayriang? Anybody can tell me. What is the verb?
Pivanti.
Mm-hmm. Right, Pivanti, and it means
drink.
Drink. And then the first object of it is Surang.
Surang.
Yeah, Surang is, I would say, liquor.
Liquor.
I think it's defined as alcoholic drinks made from grain.
Yeah.
And then Maria is alcoholic beverages made from fruits and honey and other things, flowers. So that would correspond to wine. And so here we have object one, then the verb, then object two. And this is quite common in Pali. Rather than have all of the objects before the verb, you'll have one object before the verb, then the verb, then you might get one or more objects following the verb. Okay, so there are, O monks, some ascetics and Brahmins who drink liquor and wine. Then we have Sura Maria Pana Upati Viratta. What case Sura Maria Pana? What case?
Appetite.
Right, very good. And then we have Upati Viratta. This is a negation of Pati Viratta. So Pati, originally Pati Viratta was a a past participle. But here it's functioning pretty much like an adjective with a sense. Pati Viratta would be who abstain from, but this is negated, so it's Upati Viratta, who do not abstain from or do not refrain from drinking, we say, drinking liquor and wine. Okay, so putting it all together, there are, O monks, some ascetics and Brahmins who drink liquor and wine, who do not abstain from drinking liquor and wine. And then the next sentence is really just modeled on the opening sentence, except it says, this, O monks, then we understand hoti. This is the first upakilesa, the first defilement of ascetics and Brahmins, then defiled by which defilement some ascetics and Brahmins do not glow, do not shine, do not dazzle. Any questions on this?
I have a question about this.
Yeah.
Ayan, is that it refers to the upakileso, not the patamo samana brahmanana?
Well, actually, patamo is also referring to kileso. You see, ayan is nominative singular, patamo nominative singular, and upakileso, nominative singular.
So, Bhante, you know, in this book, they gave imang and idang for neuter.
Yeah.
So, ayang is, upakileso is a masculine?
Yeah,
Okay, gotcha.
Things that are not living beings, even like mental qualities, can still be sometimes masculine, sometimes feminine. Okay, like metta, karuna, mudita, upeka, the four Brahmaviharas, they're feminine nouns. I think samadhi, I think, is masculine, concentration. Panya is wisdom, feminine. Vipassana is feminine. Samatha is masculine. Sada is feminine. Otapa, well, otapa is neuter. Virya, viryanga is neuter.
It's really interesting that a lot of the qualities are feminine.
not only good ones. Isa is feminine. Isa is envy. Okay, lobha, dosa, moha, those three are masculine. Yeah.
The beginning sentence, Santi, aka Samana Brahmana Suram Kivanti, seems to me something missing here. Like, Santi is the verb, right? The main verb here.
Yeah.
And then you have a Kivanti.
Yeah.
So here, Suram Kivanti is a clause within the sentence.
Yeah.
So you kind of missing a connecting thing between Samana Brahmana and Suram Kivanti. I mean, the way it is,
maybe you think you're missing the word who?
Something like that.
I think it's not necessary.
Not necessary.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I see what you mean, but you don't need the word who. Okay, let's go on to the next sentence. Okay, Santi Bhikkhave.
Santi Bhikkhave.
A.K. Samana Brahmana.
A.K. Samana Brahmana.
Metunang Dhammang.
Metunang Dhammang.
Pati Sevanti.
Pati Sevanti.
Metunasma Dhamma.
Metunasma Dhamma.
Upati Virata.
Upati Virata.
Then we do the whole thing. Ayang Bhikkhave.
Ayang Bhikkhave.
Dutiyo.
Dutiyo.
Samana Brahmananang.
Samana Brahmananang.
Upakileso.
Upakileso.
Yena Upakile Sena.
Yena Upakile Sena.
Upakilita.
Upakilita.
A.K. Samana Brahmana.
A.K. Samana Brahmana.
Natapanti.
Natapanti.
Nabhasanti.
Nabhasanti.
Navirochanti.
Navirochanti.
Okay, now the word Metuna Dhamma takes on the meaning of sexual intercourse. It's a little peculiar that they connect with the word Dhamma. It's just like maybe here activity, so you say sexual activity. Okay, so the structure is quite simple. So there are, O monks, some ascetics and Brahmins. Then pati sevanti means to engage in, to indulge in. But it takes an accusative object. Maybe we could say who enjoy, then you could have an accusative object in English. So some ascetics and Brahmins who enjoy sexual activity or sexual intercourse. And then metunasma dhamma, again, we know what case it is. What case?
Ablative.
Again, it's the ablative. And then, again, upati virata, who do not abstain from. Okay, and then this, O monks, is the second defilement of ascetics and Brahmins. Defiled by which defilement, some ascetics and Brahmins do not glow, do not shine, do not dazzle. Okay. Any questions about this?
instead of saying defiled by the defilement, you can use obscured from the defilement.
Excuse me?
Obscured.
You could say obscured, yeah.
Obscured, yeah.
Yeah. But just to keep, because upakilita is the past participle based on the noun upakilesa. So that's why I'm using the same. Okay. Yeah, the other day I was watching, there was a video on YouTube of a group of Thai people from Thailand visited the Dalai Lama in his residence at Dharamsala. And, you know, they were having some discussion about, there were some Thai monks also there, some discussion about monastic life. And the Dalai Lama said that he visited Mongolia and some Mongolian monks came to meet him and they said, I want to introduce you to my wife and my children. And the Dalai Lama said, but you're monks, how can you have wife and children? And they said, we're modern monks.
Modern.
And the Dalai Lama said, there's no such thing as modern monks. There's a rules laid down by the Buddha. Either you follow them and you're a monk, or you don't follow them and you're not a monk. Okay, so now we come to the third defilement. Okay. Santi Bhikkhave.
Santi Bhikkhave.
A.K.A. Samana Brahmana.
A.K.A. Samana Brahmana.
Jata Rupa Rajatang Sadhyanti.
Jata Rupa Rajatang Sadhyanti.
Okay, now a long compound. Jata Rupa Rajata.
Jata Rupa Rajata.
Pati Gahana.
Pati Gahana.
Upati Virata.
Upati Virata.
Ayang Bhikkhave Tatiyo.
Ayam bhikkhave tatiyo.
Samana brahmananang upakileso.
Samana brahmananang upakileso.
Yena upakilesena upakilita.
Yena upakilesena upakilita.
Eke samana brahmana.
Eke samana brahmana.
Now get all three together. Nutapanti, nabasanti, navirochanti.
Nabasanti, nabasanti, navirochanti.
Okay, so we know that there are among some ascetics and Brahmins, and then we have the verb sadhyanti, which means to receive, to accept. And then we have, this is a compound of two words, jata rupa. Literally, it's something like natural form, produced form, but it comes to mean gold. And then rajata means silver. So this is gold and silver. So there are some ascetics and Brahmins who receive or accept gold and silver. And then we have the compound. Again, jata rupa, gold, rajata, silver. Then pati gahana means also to acceptance of. And then this is the ablative going with apati virata. So who do not refrain from the acceptance of gold and silver. And then this is said to be, this, O monks, then we understand, hoti is the third defilement of ascetics and Brahmins, by which defilement defiled some ascetics and Brahmins do not glow, do not shine, do not dazzle. Okay, any questions on this? Okay, then we'll go on. Yeah. Kim?
But this part of it is not part of the five precepts, right? Or the eight precepts, right?
No, it's not part of the five or eight precepts, but this is included in the Samanera's precepts. Mm-hmm. And also the Bhikkhu's precepts. This is monastic practice. Okay. Then the number four, Santi Bhikkhave.
Santi Bhikkhave.
Eke Samana Brahmana.
Eke Samana Brahmana.
Micha Jivena Jivanti.
Micha Jivena Jivanti.
Micha Jiva Upati Virata.
Micha Jiva Upati Virata.
Ayam Bhikkhave.
Ayam Bhikkhave.
Chatuto.
Chatuto.
Samana Brahmananang Upakileso.
Samana Brahmananang Upakileso.
Yena Upakilesena Upakilita.
Yena Upakilesena Upakilita.
Eke Samana Brahmana.
Eke Samana Brahmana.
Nuttapanti Nibas. Let's do all three together. Nuttapanti, nabasanti, navirochanti.
Nuttapanti, nabasanti, navirochanti.
Okay, so again, there are, O monks, some ascetics and Brahmins. Then we jump to the verb jivanti, who live. And then we have an instrumental. This is Micha plus Ajiva. So Micha Ajiva means wrong livelihood. So there are some ascetics and Brahmins who live by wrong livelihood. Then Micha Jiva Upativirata. They do not abstain from wrong livelihood. And in the case of ascetics, this would mean like trying to swindle people to make offerings, you know, because the ascetics and Brahmins not supposed to work at jobs for their livelihood, but trying to deceive people in order to get, you know, to get offerings, to make false promises. Okay, so this is the fourth defilement of ascetics and Brahmins, by which defilement defiled some ascetics and Brahmins do not glow, do not shine, do not dazzle. Any questions on so far? Okay, then we have the concluding. This is a structure we often find in the suttas, especially in these shorter suttas in Anguttara Nikaya, Samyutta Nikaya. First, the Buddha will say, there are these such and such. Then he'll say, what? He'll say, there are these four such and such. What are the four? Then, this is the first, this is the second, this is the third, this is the fourth. Then he concludes, those are the four such and such. So here we have Ime ko bhikkhave.
Ime ko bhikkhave.
Chataro.
Chataro.
Samana brahmananang upakilesa.
Samana brahmananang upakilesa.
Yehi upakilesehi upakilita.
Yehi upakilesehi upakilita.
Eke samana brahmana.
Eke samana brahmana.
Then all three together. Na tapanti, na basanti, na virochanti.
na pahanti, na pasanti, na virochanti.
Anybody want to try translating this?
Ante, may I try?
Please.
These omangs are the four defilements of ascetic and Brahmin.
Yeah.
Defiled by which defilement some ascetic and Brahmin do not glow, shine, and radiate.
Right, okay, very good. Okay, so these, O monks, are the four defilements of ascetics and Brahmins, defiled by which defilements some ascetics and Brahmins do not glow, do not shine, do not radiate. Okay, and then the whole sutta is summed up in a simple verse. 1, 2, 3, 6-line verse. Surang pivanti me riyang.
Surang pivanti me riyang.
Pati sevanti me tunang.
Pati sevanti me tunang.
Raja tangja tarupancha.
Raja tangja tarupancha.
Sadi anti avidasu.
Sadi anti avidasu.
Micha jivena jivanti.
Micha jivena jivanti.
Eke samana brahmana.
Eke samana brahmana.
Anybody want to try translating the verse? You want to try? Okay.
Give it a shot. To drink liquor and wine.
First, pivanti, what grammatical form is that?
Oh, drink.
Yeah. Drink. But what number?
It's a third person.
Right, right.
They drink.
Yeah.
Liquor and wine.
Right.
And engage in sexual activity.
Yeah.
And or to receive gold and silver.
Yeah. Then there's the word avidasu.
Avidasu.
Yeah, I don't know if.
Ignore.
See what
the foolish.
Okay.
Ignore.
Yeah, right.
Ignored.
Satyanti.
Yeah, you have to take avidas. It's sort of inverted the normal order because it's fitting the meter.
Oh, okay.
So you have to take avidasu as the subject.
The foolish to receive the gold and the silver,
right,
and to leave the wrong likelihood.
Yeah,
there are some ascetics and the recluse.
Yeah. Or like if one is doing a formal translation, I would start off with AK Samana Brahmana. Mm-hmm. So I would start off with some ascetics and Brahmins, then drink liquor and wine, engage in sexual intercourse, and who are foolish, foolish ones who accept silver and gold and live by wrong livelihood. Okay, any questions on this?
Can he translate the Chinese?
Excuse me?
He can translate
the
Chinese.
Translate Chinese.
Can you translate this in Chinese?
Is it your point?
Can I translate it?
Like a poem. The poem. Can you translate the poem?
The point of the
poem. The point of the poem into Chinese.
Okay. Yo. Yi xie. Chujia. Chujia ren. Boloman. Sam, how do you say summon? Summon?
Salmon.
Salmon. Boloman. Tamen. Hejo.
Hejo.
Tamen.
engage 从事.
Anyway, you translate into Chinese.
So
I would stumble too much over.
他们喝酒, 他们饮酒, 他们从事, 他们, 就是沉溺于性行为, 然后他们就是, 接这些, 愚蠢的人接受经营, 然后他们从事于邪命。
Okay, okay.
Something like that.
Okay, good. Okay, let's do the next passage.
Do you have the thing that you had before? Where it was translated and you just pulled it up, the lady who translated the, you know, what I'm talking about?
English strange.
Is that on this computer or not?
What did I have before?
PDF of the translated file.
Oh!
If you don't have it, it's okay.
I don't think I have it here.
I have it.
The Chinese.
Oh, English.
Oh.
Oh.
No, I don't want the Chinese.
No, he wants the English.
It's okay.
Do you have the book? I have it.
Because, you know, we don't know the we don't even know the names of the sutras.
I have it here.
Oh, I see. You want
Yeah, what is the number? I know the number of the sutta. It's Anguttara Nikaya, Book of Fours. I think it's number 50, the one that we just read.
Yeah.
Okay, now, the next one is also from the Book of Fours. I don't remember the number. It's in the 20s, I think.
574.
457. Okay, 457. Okay, let's read it. Bojanang supavase.
Bojanang supavase.
Dainty Aryasavika.
Dainty Aryasavika.
Pati Gahakanam.
Pati Gahakanam.
Chatari Tanani Deity.
Chatari Tanani Deity.
Okay, so here the Buddha is speaking to a laywoman, an upasika, by the name of Supavasa. So her name in the stem form ends with a long A, Supavasa. But why do we see Supavase here? Why Supavase?
Ablative. Like you.
Yeah, but
vocative. Vocative, right. Yeah.
Like you.
Yeah, so this is the direct address form. So he's speaking to her directly. So he's saying, like, it's like, oh, supavasa.
What is a plural?
No, it's not plural. It's singular.
What is a...
Okay, you have to look... On page 18, the noun form sala. Sala is feminine singular with the long A ending. And you see the vocative at the bottom of the box. The vocative ends in E.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. So it's not...
Okay.
Yeah, it's not a plural, it's a singular.
Sorry.
Okay, now we have dainty. What form is dainty now?
Dainty.
It's a feminine what? I heard somebody say it. Exactly. And what case? Yongxin. You have to see what is it describing. What is the word is describing? And what case is Aryasavika? Right. Who said nominative? Okay, yeah, that's correct. So dainty is the present participle, feminine singular, mm-hmm. you see, ending with the long I. Mm-hmm. So it's also nominative singular, describing Aryasavika. Now the masculine is Savaka. Savaka means disciple, and Savika is just the feminine, also disciple. So this is a noble disciple giving, and then giving bojinang. So what case is bojinang here?
Ablative.
Accusative.
Accusative.
Right.
Accusative.
It's what? Kim?
Accusative.
It's accusative.
Accusative.
Yeah. It's the object of dainty.
Dainty.
So a noble disciple giving food. Then we have Pati Gaha Kanang. Now Pati Gaha, or the verb Pati Ganhati, means to receive. And Pati Gaha Ka is one who receives, or recipient. In Chinese, it would be shouju, one who receives, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then what case and number is this?
Genitive plural. Genitive plural?
I would say it's dative plural.
Dative.
Yeah. Dative and genitive are very become very close.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, that dative, genitive, plural look the same, but I think the dative works better here.
Mm-hmm.
To the recipients, chitari tanani. Usually tana means a state, a condition, a position, a place. Here we could just say things.
Mm-hmm.
And so, putting it together, a noble disciple, O Supavasa, a noble disciple giving food gives four things to the receivers. And chitari tanani, you see, tanani is what gender? Gender and number?
Neuter.
Neuter what?
Neuter plural.
And what case is it?
Case. Accusative.
Right, it's accusative. It's accusative. So she gives four things. You see, that's the object. Four things, the direct object. And then pati gaha kanang, that's the indirect object. She gives four things to the receivers. You look puzzled. Okay, so we could say that a noble disciple giving food gives four things to the receivers. Or you could also phrase it, a noble disciple who gives food gives four things to the receivers. Or you could say, when a noble disciple gives food, she gives four things to the receivers. Then we have the question, Katamani Chatari?
Mm-hmm. What's for Katamani Chatari?
Ayung Deiti.
Ayung Deiti.
Vanang Deiti.
Vanang Deiti.
Sukang Deiti.
Sukang Deiti.
Balang Deiti.
Balang Deiti.
So she gives
life.
Yeah, ayu is
life
or long life.
Mm-hmm.
Vana means
beauty.
Sukha means
happy.
Pleasure or happiness. And bala means
strength.
Or health.
Yeah.
So ayu, vanu, sukham, balang.
Ayu, vana, sukha, bala.
Maybe you take a break here.
Okay. 10 minute break.
Okay, we'll take a 10 minute break. It's, wow, I went overtime. 2:20.
It's okay.
And then we'll come back at 2:30. We'll finish this passage then. So.